All right, we're back here on The Word with G, 28 past the hour of 12 o'clock, hanging with you until 2. Big news that we just kind of talked a little bit about in the last segment that went down right as we got off the air yesterday. The Atlanta Falcons have traded their 14-year veteran quarterback, MVP, Pro Bowl, many a time Pro Bowl, and nearly Super Bowl champion. Sorry, Falcon fans, just had to throw that in there. He has been traded to the Indianapolis Colts for simply a third-round pick, and on top of that, the Atlanta Falcons having to pay $40 million in dead cap money because they traded Matt Ryan. And in turn, they go ahead and sign Marcus Mariota for 2 years, $18-plus million. To make sense of it all is a man who joined us throughout the regular season every single Wednesday here on The Word with G. As we went inside the birdcage with him, he is the host of the Believe in Falcons podcast, also a contributor and gets drunk on the Falcons more than anybody else for the Falcoholic. Joining us now for an impromptu In the Birdcage segment, Mr. Will McFadden is with us now. What's up, Will?
Hey, what's up, Greg? Thanks for having me back on.
Of course, man. Always glad that we're able to have you on to talk about the Falcons. And like we talked about through text, I'm glad we weren't able to do it last week and we pushed it back a week because we got now some big news to talk about. We'd be having you on more, which, I mean, obviously is never a bad thing. But this is a good time to have you on. And, you know, what were your initial thoughts on the trade of Matt Ryan? Were you confused, happy, sad, understanding? What were your thoughts when it first happened just about 24 hours ago, and have they changed since we've had about a day to digest this?
You know, I think that it's hard to say I was surprised, I guess. If you had asked me back before the offseason began, I would have told you that, you know, I thought Matt Ryan was going to be the quarterback here in 2022. But then just after all of the Deshaun Watson stuff, I think that took away the element of surprise because it became pretty clear that, you know, either due to strained relationship after a move like that, due to, you know, kind of the public look of it all and how sentiment really kind of swung hard in Matt Ryan's favor after everything happened, or, you know, whether this was always the plan and they kind of thought that maybe a backdoor had opened with Deshaun Watson, that they could, you know, almost figure out the quarterback solution for the long term with a good young player. You know, that obviously glosses right over all of the very problematic legal stuff for Deshaun Watson. So, you know, we'll leave that right there. But the Matt Ryan thing, I think, would have been surprising if all of that had not taken place just the week before. I think what is surprising is, you know, only a third round pick in return, which I'm sure we'll get into that in a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I'm sad. It stinks that this is the way that the Matt Ryan era kind of ends. I think people should already feel very fondly about it, and I expect that only to increase. It's a mixture of kind of a reluctant acceptance that this was always going to have to happen one way or another, but I guess sadness in the way that it did happen, and then a little bit of confusion in where the Falcons go from here, kind of what their strategy is, what they got in return, kind of really what the heck are they doing?
Yeah, no, and that's kind of, I feel like, where a lot of Falcons fans are, and we'll get into that in just a moment if you can try to help us build a bridge to success here over the next couple of years for the Falcons. But just going back to the compensation, which you talked about, the third-round pick for Matt Ryan, what would you have reasonably expected to get back in return? Was it that? Was it maybe a couple of picks? Was it a higher pick? Was it a pick and a player? Like, what were you thinking would be reasonable compensation for a guy who showed that if he's surrounded by good talent, he can still get the job done, and I think he will be out there in Indianapolis?
Yeah, I think Indy should be ecstatic that they've got Matt Ryan, frankly. But the, you know, when Russell Wilson was traded a little while back, and it was for, you know, some players were involved in that, but it was really kind of some first round picks and a couple of day two picks, if I remember that correctly. I think that My thought of what would be maybe fair trade value for Matt Ryan would be a second round pick in 2022, a second round pick in 23, and then a third round pick either one of those years. You know, so essentially two twos and a three. I thought would have been good value for the Falcons to get back from Matt Ryan, and maybe if they settle somewhere in the middle, and it's just, hey, here's a second and a third. I would have been a little bit more understanding about that. I'm struggling to understand, I guess, why it was only a third rounder, because we saw reports leading up to that 4 p.m. deadline when Matt Ryan's roster bonus was going to kick in, that the Colts were kind of working aggressively to get a trade to happen, make a trade happen. And that then for it to come out that, oh, it really only cost a third, you know, that just the language almost there is disconnected to me. You know, that doesn't strike me as a team that was working really hard to pull off a trade at the last minute. That's just, hey, we'll give you a third. So I am a little bit curious as to why that was ultimately agreed upon. I don't think the finances had a big part to do with it from Indy's end, because their cap hit for Matt Ryan is not nearly as big as the dead cap hit that the Falcons are taking. So I don't really know what to make of the third round pick, other than the fact that I wish the Falcons had gotten more.
Again, Will McFadden, our guest here on The Word with G on ESPN 95.3. And when you compare it to Russell Wilson, and I know Russell Wilson is a couple of years younger than Matt Ryan. I understand. Matt Ryan at this point, he's never been a mobile quarterback, but you know, as he gets older, he's going to be less and less mobile. But you know, that's sort of in the same vein as Tom Brady. But again, I've always thought if you put Matt Ryan's a really good quarterback with good qualities about him to take a good team around him to a deep playoff run if everything kind of breaks right. The fact that he's won an MVP, he's obviously got MVP votes, at least in the past, and Russell Wilson has never won an MVP, never gotten an MVP vote, and he was able to bring back all of that, and Matt Ryan only brings back a third-round pick. To me, again, I'm with you. I'm sort of confused by how they weren't able to get more. But let's move to the quarterback now that's going to be under center, a guy who Arthur Smith is familiar with in his time with Tennessee as the offensive coordinator, in Marcus Mariota. Now, what did you think of that move? Did you kind of see that coming once they traded Matt Ryan away? Because that's sort of what I was hearing sort of blowing up. The obvious move was, hey, we're trading away Matt Ryan and we bring in Marcus Mariota. That's going to be our next quarterback. What did you think about that? And what do you kind of make of him now kind of slotting into that starting quarterback role?
So I think there are a couple of ways you can look at this, assuming that they do intend to have Marcus Mariota be their starting quarterback. That, you know, they may go quarterback at 8 now in the draft. We don't know. But again, we'll put that aside for right now. For the sake of the conversation, let's assume Marcus Mariota is kind of their planned quarterback for the next year or two, as maybe a bridge player at the position. I think that financially makes a lot of sense. They are clearly gearing up to hit the ground running in 2023. They'll get a lot of this cap stuff off of their books, and they will have the financial flexibility that they have lacked the last several off seasons to really, I think, restructure and overhaul this roster. Marcus Mariota is probably your Mendoza line at quarterback, maybe a tick below that at this point, but he brings some things to the table, and I'll get to this in 1 second, that at least make him serviceable for your needs, and he's going to be relatively inexpensive. So thereby they're maximizing as much cap space as they're going to have. So then who knows, maybe, you know, a quarterback that they really like, that's a veteran, they can make a run at next offseason. So I think they're trying to give themselves as much financial flexibility as possible, and that starts with the most expensive position in the sport. Then the other part of this is, even though Marcus Mariota may be kind of a league average quarterback, he does bring the running ability that can kind of be a little bit of a difference maker for quarterbacks who aren't elite with their arm. And the one thing we've seen with Terry Fontenot is that he likes to find this hidden value in a lot of the acquisitions that they make, the guys that other people are overlooking for one reason or another. And I kind of look at the Falcons roster now, and they have no skill players outside of Cordarrelle Patterson and Kyle Pitts. And, you know, now I guess he had Damian Williams to the mix. So what if they just pretty much adopt like a pseudo running oriented offense and just kind of almost try to moneyball this thing and build a weird type of non-traditional offense that utilizes the strengths of the players that they found relatively cheaply.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but that's at least some kind of mad scientist argument that, frankly, I would be pretty excited to see if they just came out and I don't expect them to do that, because I expect them to go get help a wide receiver and to make this look like any other NFL offense, because they're all pretty much the same with various wrinkles here and there. But I would be all in if they're just kind of like, hey, let's get weird in 2022, and then we can kind of get back closer to normal in 2023. And I think Marcus Mariota will be better off in that type of an offense that maybe is a little bit more experimentative and geared towards his abilities as a runner, kind of like we've seen in Philly and in Baltimore with those types of offenses. And obviously, Arthur Smith has a lot of familiarity with Marcus Mariota. Now, they didn't have the level of success that he did with Ryan Tannehill, so it remains to be seen, I guess, how Arthur Smith, you know, envisions using Marcus Mariota in this offense and how willing he is to change a lot of what he does for Marcus Mariota. But I think they could have done worse. I'm still waiting to see if they do decide to go quarterback in the draft, or if they are done adding at this position.
Getting drunk on the Falcons here with us from the Falcoholic is Will McFadden, talking about this situation with Matt Ryan and Marcus Mariota and where the Falcons go next from here. And, you know, you look at their team, as you mentioned, a couple of the pieces, you know, bringing in Casey Hayward, and they brought back, they signed Lorenzo Carter to 1 year contract, and, you know, they brought back Cordarrelle Patterson, Isaiah Oliver, Jake Matthews, Alameda Zacchaeus. You know, they were young Wei Koo. You know, they've got some, you know, nice pieces here, you know, with this team. And you're right, like maybe 2022 is like, hey, Arthur Smith's like, I'm going to get my bag a little bit. I'm going to get very creative with how we're going to run this offense. And we're just going to kind of throw a bunch of things at you. And, you know, you hope that they, you know, sign some other wide receivers here that maybe Marcus Mariota can throw to, because there's not a whole lot there on the outside. But it might be fun to kind of watch this Falcons team next year, sort of a wild card type of, hey, we're not sure exactly what we're going to get. And depending upon what they like in the quarterback draft this year, we had just one of our biggest Falcon fans call in last segment and say, I really like Kenny Pickett. You know, maybe they go and they get Kenny Pickett if they really like him, or another quarterback this year. Although the quarterbacks aren't classically strong, I think, in this draft this year, maybe they're looking towards next year and saying, all right, like, let's just see what happens this year. And, you know, maybe we have a veteran quarterback. He's not great, but he's okay. He's a 2-year deal. Maybe we just have him for this year and we let this thing play out. And if we're not very good, then, hey, maybe we put ourselves in a position to draft a quarterback that we like next year. And then, you know, if you do and he's not ready, you still have Mariota under contract for a year. And then hopefully, I'm trying to build a bridge here, Will. You know, do we get it?
Like, you are hard selling.
I'm trying
this plan very, very well. But you did. I do like a lot of the other free agent acquisitions that they've made. You know, Casey Hayward, I think, is an outstanding signing.
Yeah.
By this club. So it's like, the quarterback stuff aside, I really like a lot of what they've done, which is what makes kind of the quarterback stuff so head scratching and puzzling, because I could have easily seen a world where they go into this season with Matt Ryan as their quarterback and just with incremental maybe improvements in some areas, maybe some incremental kind of downgrades in other areas, but they just kind of try to replicate what they did last year and maybe with some better results, and then they still get more of that financial flexibility next offseason. They would still kind of have the ability to maybe come to a decision at the quarterback position. It's just weird that they decided to kind of rush into all of this right now, because I liked everything that they were doing otherwise, outside of, you know, losing Russell Gage and Foye Luikin.
What about the whole Deshaun Watson thing? Because I know you mentioned that, our caller last hour mentioned it as well when talking about the Falcons and the whole Deshaun Watson thing, sort of flirting with him and maybe not making Matt Ryan all that happy. And do you think that had any effect on their relationship and, you know, what they did in trading away Matt Ryan here now? And did you at all want Deshaun Watson here in Atlanta?
No, I did. I think that he is a really good football player, but it's just impossible to divorce at this point, kind of his on the field abilities and him off the field, perception now. So I am fine with him being in Cleveland. I don't know anything for certain about how this impacted Matt Ryan's relationship with the team, his relationship with Arthur Blank, whatever. But I can't imagine that it sat over well with him. He's an extremely competitive person. He has done pretty much everything that this organization has asked of him, and he's done it with grace. Really not what you want from any employer, right? I saw a lot of people kind of on Twitter being like, it's a business, all that stuff. Sure, that's fine. But the NFL is also a relationship business, and you don't get a reputation for being a well-run organization, a stable franchise, if you're kind of doing stuff like this. And yeah. People have long memories. And I think for somebody as well-respected in this league as Matt Ryan, a former league MVP who has taken them to the Super Bowl, has been in some of the biggest games over the last couple of decades. Like, that's to kind of turn around and do something like that for the face of your franchise. I don't think sat right with a lot of people in Atlanta, and I can't imagine that it sat right with Matt Ryan. But I do think that I believe the reports that they wanted to maybe do right by Matt in some way, as they were negotiating the potential trade with Deshaun Watson, and maybe it was a three-way trade that would send Matt where he wants to go. I do think Indy is a fantastic spot for him to ultimately end up. So I think that that's all is going to end well for Matt Ryan, hopefully. And I think he's got a great chance to add to his legacy while he's in Indy. So maybe Matt will have the last laugh, but it certainly didn't, I think, sit right with me how it all went down, and I can't imagine that it sat well with Matt either.
Yeah, again, I can't either with somebody who's given so much to an organization like Matt Ryan. Again, Will McFadden, our guest here on The Word with G. All right, Will, last thing for you. What does this team need to do the rest of the offseason and, to sort of round out this roster? I know they sort of need to kind of get the cap under control a little bit. I know with the whole Matt Ryan situation, they still have to, formally announce and put on the books Cordarrelle Patterson's move along with Marcus Mariota. I know, and in the draft as well, I know you mentioned, you'd love a defensive end, that somebody who could be here for the next 10 years and just dominate. Is that still top of your list, or where do you think that they need to go in the draft?
It's still definitely the top of my list, and it's kind of the reason I didn't need any of this nonsense to happen this offseason, because it was just sitting right there for him. This is a really good edge rusher draft in the first round. I mean, there's a lot of guys that can be had that I like for various reasons. They have a really good chance at potentially, getting at least a top three edge rusher at number eight. And, it just kind of looked like things were finally going to come up Falcons with the draft and with a pass rusher. And then now all of a sudden they need a wide receiver. Now all of a sudden they need potentially a quarterback. There's just a lot of stuff that could be at play. I think the Lorenzo Carter signing was interesting. I don't know if it was good. There's real Dante Fowler vibes to that type of move. I like Lorenzo Carter as a player a lot. I actually was in college at the same time as him, and I got to talk to him and meet him while we were at Georgia together. So, I like Lorenzo Carter a lot as a player. I don't think he comes in and immediately fixes the Falcons pass rush issues, just like I didn't think Dante Fowler would do that. So I would still love for them to take an edge rusher, but now, do you turn down somebody like a Drake London at wide receiver if he's there, or Treylon Burks? Now I think with Cordarrelle Patterson coming back, that maybe takes Burks off the table a little bit more, because they're similar-ish players. But I still would go edge rusher, because it's still their clear number one need on the defensive side of the ball, and defense has continued to be the problem for this franchise forever. So I'm all for fix the defense and then figure out the offense. That's why your head coach is here, and make his job a little bit harder but let's go get some dogs on defense. That would still be my go-to move.
At Will McFadden on Twitter. Give him a follow on there. You can get all of his content at thefalcoholic.com. And, of course, the podcasts at the Believe in Falcons podcast, wherever you get your podcasts as well. Will, always good to catch up with you, my man. Thanks so much for taking a couple of minutes here to talk a little bit about the Falcons, share your insight and your thoughts on everything that they're up to right now. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. Let's not wait until the Falcons trade their quarterback to catch up again.
I know. Yeah, when it gets closer to draft time, we'll have you on and we'll reevaluate and we'll get a chance to maybe talk about what you like or some players that you hope that they target. Maybe we'll do that around draft time.
There you go. All right, I got to cut on some film then.
There you go. Cut on some film and we'll talk soon. All right, my buddy?
All right. We'll talk to you later.
There he goes. Will McFadden right here on The Word with G.